Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson in Baltimore. We're Baltimore positive. We're still in Pittsburgh. Luke and I were up late into Sunday night, getting ready for we thought would be playoff action. Luke thought they were going to win. I thought the Steelers were going to win, by the way. I was on record with that. The missed kick thing and the drama part of it and the fact that they came so close. And they could have, and they should have, and they would have. And, they would have beaten Houston this week. And, there's all of that. And then there's the reality of you and I fighting over whether it's the coaches or it's the players, or it's the players or it's the coaches. Or it's if it's the players, then it's DaCosta, right? If it's the coaches, then it's Harbaugh. I don't know where Bisciotti's going to come up on this. And he's the only vote that matters here now that because he's doling the money out at this point. And the other vote would be Lamar. And you and I are going to fight about that for months until it's solid or it's not solid as to whether he really wants to be here. And I always question that. I will continue to question that as long as he's here. I mean, I just will. Like, it's going to be his decision. It's an NBA thing, right? Like, if he doesn't want to be here, they have bigger problems than that, no matter who the coach is. Or if the coach and he aren't right, and Steve has to pick one, as the pundits have said. This is a time to decide whether you like your players, your coaches, your evaluators, your team president and your nasty PR director who's not from around here. I don't know what that looks like for them in the off season, but coaches or players, you and I would say yes.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know how you can, and that it's not meant to be a cop out. It's meant that when you have something that looked the way that it did 2 years ago, or even the way that it did last year, until the divisional round, it's not as though they didn't have a great regular season, didn't have a really good team last year, but when it becomes this, which was at best mediocre, at best looked good for a game or two at a time. Yeah, and I get it. They had a five-game winning streak. Go look at the teams they played, right? I mean, it wasn't. That Bears win aged well. I'll give them that. Other than that, I mean, they just weren't very good. So when you see that, that isn't just one thing that leads to that. I think their coaching left a lot to be desired this year. And I think the players themselves, I mean, look, love Derrick Henry. Ended up having an amazing season. It was a better second half away from winning the rushing title. Go look at the final numbers. I mean, he just missed out on that. I mean, Pittsburgh shut down the run and just kind of shut down their offense until the Ravens' last couple drives. But I mean, Derrick Henry had a critical fumble that was a massive part of a couple of their losses early in the year, right? He was a reason why they started 1-5. I mean, his fumble in the Buffalo game was a backbreaker with the timing of it and the Detroit game, right? And now he also ran for a ton of yards in that Buffalo game. Like, I'm not saying that to pick on Derrick Henry, but the point is with that, it kind of goes back to one of the themes of that predates Derrick Henry. Their stars not being stars in the most critical times. And that's a player thing. So, the offensive line, it's not talented enough. They've got a former first round pick a decade ago at left tackle, who's still, I think Ronnie Stanley's still solid. Tyler Linderbaum's a Pro Bowl center, but got major issues at guard, at both guard spots. Rosengarten, I thought, finished the season on a better note than how I felt through 10, 11 games
Despite the
for
penalty
him.
on Sunday night.
Yeah, but didn't become the guy that I thought was maybe going to be a fringe Pro Bowl right tackle. He's got work to do to get anywhere close to that. So, and that's just one position group I'm talking about, but that's a big one we talked about all year. So it is everything, right? It is coaching, it is players. And then, when you're talking about the players and certain position groups having deficiencies, yeah, it is the front office, I've said it in passing, and others have said this, so I don't want to make it sound like it's an original idea just coming solely from me. But you think back to how Ozzie Newsome, wide receiver, was his Achilles, right? In terms of not being able to draft. And, well, Eric
And that didn't
DaCosta,
help his quarterbacks either.
sure, no question. Eric DaCosta, look at some of the swings they've taken at edge rusher. Owe, Ajabo. Adisa Isaac, who's barely played in his first two seasons. I mean, I just rattled off a first, a second, and a third round pick. Now, Mike Green flashed potential. I think he's got a chance to become a player, but does he look like he's going to be the next Terrell Suggs? No, certainly didn't see that in year one. A second round pick there. So they've invested some very meaningful draft capital. And yet, what are we talking about again? And what are we going to talk about a lot? This offseason, regardless of who the defensive coordinator is or even who the head coach is, we're gonna be talking about pass rush and how they improve that. So yeah, it's everything. This is an organizational failure when you're 8-9 for relative to the expectations, right? I mean, this wasn't a team that going into the year, people were lukewarm about them. Everyone and their mom was picking them to go to the Super Bowl this year. Now, did we overrate their talent? Yeah, I think at certain spots, certainly. But at the same time, that's where you look at the O-line and say, well, last year the O-line was good enough. We weren't sitting here saying they were the next, they were the 1993 Dallas Cowboys, but their O-line was good enough last year. And the thought, well, and this is where I'll stick up for Eric DaCosta to a degree, looking at it through the lens of, well, Linderbaum will be another year older and another year more experienced. Valele was a Pro Bowl alternate last year. He'll have another year of experience under his belt, so he should be better. Rosengarten should be better. Voorhees was the starter early last year before he got, you know what I mean? So, like, you could talk yourself into the idea that the O-line was going to be better or at least as good as it was last year, even with McCary leaving. And let's not. I love Patrick McCary as much as anyone. He wasn't Marshall Yanda at guard. I mean, let's be clear. So, you look at that and you could kind of talk yourself into it, right? You could kind of talk yourself into, all right, we might be, the offensive line trend line, it's pointing upward. That wasn't proved to clearly not be the case in 2025. So, how do you, where do you go from here? I mean, okay. I'll hear Emory Jones like having some optimism for him, but it's a third round pick who barely played, was hurt most of the year. So can you really count on him to be a starter for you? I mean that's TBD. So what are you going to do with Linderbaum? Linderbaum's a free agent. You're probably going to have to,
He just got here. You're kidding me, right?
no, but he's going to be a free agent.
I know,
And
but like he just
no,
got here.
but and
And
that's
he's one of the
tough.
good players. All these
He
other
is.
chumps, they don't have to give money to because they're
And that,
not any
but.
good.
Right, but that, are you prepared that you're going to have to make him the highest paid center in the league? Because that's probably what it's going to be to keep him, I would
Well, we
think.
better figure out who
I
your
would think.
quarterback is. So you're going to have a $65 million quarterback and a $19 million center? Is that what you're going to do?
Might I mean maybe, but if you don't, then okay, we've already established that neither guard spot's good enough, and now you're starting over at center, right? I mean, like that's not how you're getting better from 8-9 in 2026. So, man, it's messy. I mean, it is, man. I mean, I don't say that to be fatalistic about it. I mean, they still have Lamar Jackson, pending what's going to happen with contract and all that. They still have Derrick Henry, who I think still has one more great year in him, even if he's going to be 32, right? And you can't necessarily expect him to be as great as he was this year. Just like I don't think he was quite as great as he was last year, right? I mean, maybe at least until the end of the year. You have Zay Flowers, who now has back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, but his fifth-year option is going to be coming. That he's going to get more expensive, not this coming season, but the year after that. What are you going to do with him, right? So, but this is also just reality, and Kansas City, we're kind of seeing in real time Kansas City, that kind of catching up with them finally, right? The number of great players that they had to part with. I mean, go back to trading Tyreek Hill, what, 3 years ago? Now, to their credit, they won a Super Bowl, what, won two Super Bowls without him and made it to another one. But at some point in time, whether you're talking talent or we go back to a theme from last year for the Ravens, the brain drain that they had on the coaching side last year. That I don't think they, not I don't think, I know it's evident that they haven't recovered from that, based on the body of work the last 2 years with their entire coaching staff. So, at some point in time, those things don't necessarily show up right away. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years. And you know, the reality is when you have a high price quarterback, and the same conversations in Buffalo. Go look what you'd hear about the Bills right now as they're in the
Dude,
playoffs.
Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback on earth still,
And
right?
they're sitting
I
at
haven't heard
home.
about them in 2 weeks.
They're sitting at home, right? But Buffalo, they're in the field. All you're hearing, or what you're going to hear, in their fan base, they're talking about it right now in Western New York. Oh, our run defense stinks, and who the heck is Allen throwing to? Like, Khalil Shakir is our number one receiver. That's not good enough, right? And
And the worst part for them is if they don't get to the Super Bowl this year, they're going to say, we got beaten by Denver, by New England, by these young,
no
like,
Mahomes, no Lamar. I mean, yeah.
no Burrow.
But this is, and look, Cincinnati is a great example of it, but part of that is also bad ownership. Front office is very light in terms. I mean, just look at their personnel. Like their executives, their front office, their player personnel, their number of scouts. I mean, it's a bare bones, cheap operation. I mean, I'm not talking out of turn here. It's Mike Brown, right? I mean, we've talked about that for decades.
Because he doesn't have any money.
But when you have Joe Burrow and you have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins on big contracts, like what are you giving? Like what are you sacrificing elsewhere? And you know, the Ravens are in the same position with, you know, you've got Lamar, you've got Kyle Hamilton who reset the market. And let me be clear, you want to have those players. Like they're great players, but it does make roster building more challenging elsewhere if you end up whiffing on some picks or you don't assess where you are at a certain position group. Well, like I said, I laid out to you, I just laid out the rationale for what I'm guessing Eric was thinking in terms of where the O-line was. That clearly was a miscalculation in terms of either those guys just weren't good enough, and last year was Lamar much more making up for that than we thought,
Well, they miss
or
Joe D too.
they missed
So
Joe D. And
there
like,
is, oh, we got this kid from Michigan and we got this giant
sure.
guy from Minnesota. Coach him up, dog. Coach, make him better. Make up coaches make players better.
And
Every coach will tell you that.
as much as George Warhop deserved credit for coming in, swimming upstream last year and managing that situation, which, you know, was a human thing. I mean, forget about the challenges football-wise. I mean, these guys had lost their position coach. It was like a dad to these guys. I mean, anyone in that building would tell you Joe D, I mean, was a wonderful man. So there was that element, but like George Warhop deserved credit last year. This year, what happened? And I'm not, you know, it's never as simple as like, well, this coach is, you know, he's dumb or like he got stupid in the, you know, like, but sometimes it's just not the right fit, or you tried to make some changes, or you tried to implement your way of doing things, and it just, you know, it didn't work. So, you know, that's where it's, you know, this is so messy because there is a lot to address here, and what exactly do you do? And I think, again, you talked about stability and continuity. I talked about it in terms of
Well, that's been a strength for them. They
reacting
perceive that
without
as a strength.
overreacting, but now when it's gone in the wrong direction back to back years, is that what you need at this point? Or do you have to look at this and say you might need to be a little more bold and you might have to make a really tough decision, whether you're talking about your head coach, whether you're talking about assistants A, B, C, and D, whether you're talking about established veteran players A, B, and C who have too big of a cap number for what their production is. You know, Marlon Humphrey comes to mind immediately, right? You know, you've got to look at that and say, do we need to, you know, it's not a rebuild, but do we need to reset in some ways and start, you know, kind of restart and start over in certain groups or certain position coaches, all that. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I don't envy them. I don't envy them this offseason because that's a lot there. And anything you do, and you know, Harbaugh's kind of the easy one to talk about. You either have conviction about him and you keep him, and then you're dealing with how fans feel about that. Going to the business side, you do wonder about players as far as not that the, you know, I think the players love Harbaugh and respect Harbaugh, but at the same time, I think they're all sitting there wondering too, like, what's it going to take? Like, what's wrong here? You know, I mean, everyone should have personal accountability. Like, for example, you know, Derrick Henry, you know, he fumbled in the Buffalo game and he fumbled in the Detroit game, right? So everyone has accountability for their own individual play. We understand that. But when you're looking at the collective, you're telling me those players aren't wondering the same thing about, I love Coach Harbs, but is it time, why isn't this working the same way? Or talking about the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator or the special teams, Chris Horton. I mean, the special teams have faltered at the worst possible time as well. I mean, so you just kind of look at this thing and again, my previous off seasons, I felt react without overreacting. And I don't want to say overreact just for the sake of it, because that's not it either. But I do think you've got to look at this with a much more critical eye in terms of why isn't this working? Why has this gone in the wrong direction? And that can lead you to some really difficult conclusions as far as what you might ultimately need to
Well, you have a
do.
$65 million quarterback. You have a $20 million coach. You have a $20 million middle linebacker. I mean, you just have all of the. And to your point, you might start to bleed even more if Linderbaum's going to be gone. If Derrick Henry just says, "I'm done. I'm good." Marlon Humphrey's got to be gone, right? I mean, there's some pieces to this. Matt Ebike, I mean, I think he's
Yeah, I mean,
gone, right? That doesn't feel
yeah, I mean, it doesn't
like.
feel like he's coming back. I mean, I
That's why
don't
they
know
gave
that
the
for
money to
sure.
Travis Jones and what they did.
Yeah, I mean, it,
They
you know,
brought
it.
Mark Andrews back at $13 million now, and I don't smell that. I mean, Isaiah Likely's the one that caught the big pass. Where was Mark Andrews on Sunday night?
Where was Mark Andrews from the moment he signed the extension? And part of that is also how we talked about just the overall broken nature of their passing game, where it was Zay Flowers, kind of the improv street ball plays to Zay Flowers, which, my goodness, it was amazing. What they did in the fourth quarter
The
Sunday
second one was
night.
a street ball. The first one was like a
It
really good
was.
design
No, it
play.
was a great play. It
Yeah.
was a great play.
Yeah.
No, but I'm talking more so the body of work over the course of the season. When it wasn't Zay Flowers, I mean, what were they counting on with their passing game on any kind of consistent basis? I mean, not even Mark Andrews anymore. I mean, it used to be Mark Andrews was the default, but and that started to change last year with Flowers emerging to the degree that he did, but that wasn't even that. I mean, and you just re-upped Andrews.
Which I'm blown away by that. I mean, I'm starting to think DaCosta's, we got to start talking about him, and they've never talked about that.
It
That
kind
is
of,
a part of the department in 30 years. That is the pride of Bisciotti,
gotta
is to
ask.
say, we don't change. See, Eric's like a son. I raised him as a son. He's here. He's my guy. I mean, I don't know, man. Bisciotti's not one of the most arrogant. Well, Chad Steele's the most arrogant man I've ever met, but he works for Steve. Steve's unbelievably arrogant in regard to that's my guy, that's my guy. If he shows up this week and says John Harbaugh's not his guy and Eric DaCosta's not his guy, that may be a John wants to retire kind of thing. Or, I don't know, because I don't him coming in bleary eyed and say I fired John because John's not the right guy for us anymore. I fired Eric because he's not the right guy anymore. And Ozzie's going out the door too, because Ozzie had to go out the door at some point because he's pushing 80. So like that, at some point, there will at some point Eric
Ozzie's not
DaCosta.
close to being that old, by the
What
way. No,
is he?
it's just
How old? 72 maybe? 74?
he is 69.
Okay, all right.
No,
Just feels like he's 100.
it's just funny because I had a conversation recently with someone where I'm like, Ozzie Newsome's not as old
No
as you
wonder he comes
think.
to work every
He's
day
just
then.
been around
He's
forever,
only 14 years older than me, and I don't
I mean, he
feel
was
that
in his
old.
40, he was in his
Yeah, he
40s
is
when he
older than me.
became the
I'm
Ravens
not
general
55
manager.
anymore. Yeah. Well, but my point is,
I know your
we've
point.
never had to
Sure.
discuss any of that. And now all of a sudden,
You got
at
to
some point,
ask.
it will be discussed. I think Bisciotti thought, well, that'll be for the next owner, not for me, because I'm not going to roll my sleeves up and go sitting with football executives to find the next Eric when I spent 12 years identifying Eric and keeping him around here and paying him too much so he would be the guy. So I don't think Eric goes anywhere. I don't
No,
think
I don't
Ozzie goes
either.
anywhere. John, I don't know. I don't know. I don't. And John, as it relates to Lamar, if John and Lamar can't kumbaya together because one doesn't want the other or the other doesn't want the other, I think that's the case, by the way. Just so you know, I just that's my opinion. My opinion is it's one or the other, because together it ain't working.
Fair enough.
And that comes to me from what time of the day they practice, because Lamar can't get out of bed in the morning, how much the organization has been shaped, for better or worse, by Lamar, because Harbaugh has to let him run the place. And I don't think Harbaugh wants a $65 million quarterback running the place. And I think that that's what's going on right now. That's based on practices, that's based on press conferences where Harbaugh says he's going to play and he doesn't. Like, just in a general sense, I think Harbaugh doesn't know what he's getting out of Lamar, or whether, and that from a leadership standpoint, I don't care how good you are. You know, like, if we can't work together, fans be damned, Luke and Nestor be damned, Lamar's talent be damned. If he wants to go play in Miami, we're all wasting our breath here. And especially if it comes to firing Harbaugh, because it's like, if Lamar's going to go, you probably should have a new coach, but that doesn't mean that John is in the mood to go hire a coach. And by the way, if you love Jason Garrett that much, Jason Garrett's available. I mean, like, literally, maybe, hey, dude,
I hear you.
I'm just saying, do you want a coach that's coached before, or do you want Mike McDonald? I don't know. I don't know. With Lamar Jackson, if you're like, well, we have Lamar for 3 more years here at $65 million a year, not that you want Pete Carroll or Bill Belichick, right? Or Jim Schwartz or Kevin Stefanski or whomever, but maybe you want a coach who's coached before. I don't, I literally, I don't think Tony Dungy wants to coach anymore. You know, I don't know who is available out there, who will make themselves available, but we'll wrap with this because we're going to talk a lot.
Oh yeah, I mean
Something massive is going to happen here. DaCosta, Harbaugh, Lamar. If the three of them are all coming back on September 1st, you and I are going to have a hell of a lot of questions about the pass rush, the offensive line, the skill position players, the center, like everything else, the kicker, everything else about the coaches, all the coaches, the defensive coordinator. Like, if the three of those are back, DaCosta, Harbaugh, and Lamar, and they're all decorated and they're all well paid and they're all under contract. So to think that they're going to come back with that Holy Trinity again and run it back again after 8 and 9, I don't know. I don't know how many people don't send their season ticket renewals in, and I don't know that Sashi Brown gives a damn. And I know Chad Steele doesn't, and I know John doesn't, and I know Eric doesn't. So somebody's got to care about the business. Somebody's got to care about the brand besides that great brand manager, Chad Steele, who had me sitting out in the cold while other people were covering the game and asking questions. Some people were in the locker room asking Tyler Luke questions, but my organization had to pick one or the other. It's gross. I mean, oh, dude, their reputation since Wembley, I don't think the Ray Rice thing even hurt their reputation the way it should have, because they were so close to a Super Bowl. The lies, the woman getting punched in a glass elevator, and everybody in the building who's still there lied, other than Kevin Byrne, lied about it, is still there in the building. So there's a cleanup on Isle Purple and paging Steve Bisciotti.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of what the outcome's going to be, and you just said it. I mean, even if DaCosta, Harbaugh, and Lamar are all back, which is still, I think, more likely than a lot of fans
Oh,
want it to
I
be.
they're all under contract. They all make
Yeah,
a lot of
right,
money. Steve
exactly. I
loves them
mean,
all,
yeah,
I think. We'll find out.
but even if that happens, they all those questions are still there. Right. I mean, whoever the new defensive coordinator is, because I think you and I both feel like that's
That's the only
the
thing I can
bare
guarantee you.
minimum,
Yeah.
right? I mean, Monken might be, I mean, Todd Monken might say, I'm going back to college. You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, where's he with Lamar, right? I mean, his offense was suffering because of Lamar being banged. And I'm not blaming Lamar, but he was hurt, right? And missing practice. And again, there's a cost benefit at work there, right? I mean, with Lamar missing practice and all that, but where's Todd Monken with that, right? Where are the other assistant coaches with all that? So these questions are all going to be there in some shape or form, and they're not going away. To your point, you say September, I would say, I mean, Maybe more so this year because they're coming off of a non-playoff season. But what have we said for the last 5 or 6 years now? Since they lost to the Titans back in January of 2020, we've said it's all about January. I mean, the regular season's thankless. But then when you have a regular season where you don't even get to January, my goodness. I mean, that's a lot of uncomfortable conversation.
Because
That's
your
a
kicker was out
lot.
being a predator and you had to go get another kicker who missed the kick. I mean, by the way, Ethan Giffen, I want to give him a lot of love. Ethan is a friend of mine. He runs Group Commerce. I had a lot of drunk, nasty people on my Twitter and Facebook in the middle of the night. But Ethan Giffen said that was a karma kick. It's bad karma. Just in a general, it's a karma kick. So I'm going to leave it at that. Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore Luke. When do pitchers and catchers report? Soon? 5 weeks?
A little
4 weeks?
over a month.
All right,
World
30 days. All right.
Baseball Classic this year, so guys report a little bit
By the
earlier,
way, I
and
want to talk about Venezuela and the World Baseball Classic. I'll do that with you because they're playing a game against the Dominican on March 11th in Miami, and I had thoughts of being there, but tickets are $400 to get in. You know, we Latin
really.
folks, they throw us in cages and put, but we love our baseball. We Venezuelans who are now under the leadership of the great Arn Schittler. They've taken over Venezuela since we've done let just what a world. It's football. I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm leaving soon. Driving down the hill. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We're back for more right after this.